A week into the job, Bloomington City Manager Tim Gleason is settling into his new position at City Hall. He's still getting through his one-on-one meetings with elected officials and department heads. GLT's Ryan Denham visited Gleason's office at City Hall to find out what the former Decatur City Manager is hearing so far.
It's a strong desire to increase economic development for the community. Strong desire to partner with, the different governmental entities, McLean County and Normal, the town of, and also to address some of the challenges that we know that we have. Infrastructure is a biggie here. So really, what I would call the common things that most Illinois municipalities are dealing with. The one thing that I think Bloomington is different is the opportunities or the solutions, I think, might be a little bit easier. I don't want to say that they will be easier, but a little bit more solutions than what some of the other cities in the state are faced with.
You started several new jobs over the last 8 years or so, worked for the state of Illinois, CEO of Correctional Industries, Deputy Director of the Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity, City Manager of Washington and Decatur, and now Bloomington. So what have you learned about that process of becoming a leader in a new place, but doing so without stepping on too many landmines as you get settled into the new job?
Sure. I think the biggest thing, and it's not so much, you can't read it in a textbook, but it's just smart to assess. You step in to a new position, understand your surroundings first. Sometimes, and I've been in positions in the past where day one I've had to address certain things, immediately. But that's not the case here, at least so far. Appreciate the opportunity. Things seem to be going rather smoothly, which does not suggest that we can't improve on things. But I think it's going to allow me to sit back and assess for a while before we dive into changes, if any.
You've got around 630 full-time employees in Bloomington, including about a dozen on your executive staff. So how do you evaluate that team, especially those leaders, those executive-level leaders? How do you determine who's a good fit as you're making these assessments?
The meetings, whether it's collectively or individually. And this second week, I'm starting the one-on-one meetings with the department directors, a formal meeting. I've had a fair amount of interaction with most, and at least as a group with all of them. But again, you check out the resume, you pick up on the sense of what other employees and their peers have of that department head. And I think I've stepped into a good situation.
You said in other interviews that one of your strengths is that you're very open and honest. Can you describe that as a strength and how that comes into play as you're taking over this new role?
I think when you're in government, it's one where you've got public mistrust or maybe skepticism. From the public, we are stewards of the taxpayer dollars, and I think being transparent, being open and honest, maybe to a fault when we're talking about any government issues, it's a benefit. I think a lot of times, whether you're dealing with a union, whether you're dealing with an individual employee, or the elected officials or the community, if we lay all of our cards, if you will, out on the table, might put you in a position or in the crosshairs for some criticism, but I really think, the truth will set you free and, the high road prevails, I guess, has been my philosophy.
Well, city officials, including the mayor himself, have expressed frustration at times with the pace at which economic development efforts move in Bloomington. I want to ask if that's something that you've heard in one-on-ones with aldermen and other folks you've met with in the first few weeks on the job.
It is. It is something that I've heard even prior to starting day one last Monday. I had a few people from the community reach out to me and express some concerns. The pace at which we achieve, let's say, wins in economic development there's always a rest of the story. You swing and miss when you're trying to pursue new opportunities more than you actually connect. Before I say that something is, remiss on the economic development front, I need to learn a little bit more. But to answer your question, yes, I have heard those concerns.
Based on what you have learned so far, do you sense that there's a need for additional resources, be it staff or otherwise, to help on economic development initiatives?
I think the best way that I would answer that, Ryan, is at this point, this early in the game, and it's not one that I can wait too long. I mean, this is a critical topic for us at the city. But I would say it this way. I've got more questions, and I actually have a meeting with Bob Mart on Thursday morning. So before I say that I have concerns or think that we're thin on resources, I've got questions first that I'd like to get answered.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Ryan Denham. I'm here with Tim Gleason, the new city manager for Bloomington. He's 1 week into the job. So downtown is a core priority for the city council, very much intertwined with what we've been talking about with economic development. There are concerns, though, that downtown has stalled a bit and is withering even a little. And with a few exceptions, Farmers Market is one, some businesses, but still a lot of vacancies and not a lot of big swings from the city downtown in the wake of the arena. So how much of your attention will downtown receive in this first year on the job, and where do you even begin?
Actually, you're going to see us bring some of the downtown discussions back in front of council next month at one of the council meetings. Might be the committee of the whole meeting, but we're going to discuss with council members in the plan that I reviewed what possibilities and what opportunities do we have to address yet this year.
Well, Grossinger Motors Arena is a key part of that downtown, but it's had a very rocky first decade or so since it opened. It's on the second management company now, more stable than the first, but is still losing a significant amount of money. You've said in other interviews that the arena is one where you still need to get a little bit deeper into the details before you feel comfortable addressing it fully. But in your one-on-ones with elected officials, was it a concern? Is there discomfort with the status quo over there? Or is that pretty far down on your priority list at this point?
No. It actually, I'm not going to say it's at the top, but it's an area of concern. You mentioned the status quo. None of the elected officials are happy with where we currently stand. Really, the thing that I need to do is understand, what are the other opportunities? What is that one key component that potentially is going to turn this thing around? I know some people have talked about a hotel. And then when we have the hotel discussion, how much by way of incentives to attract a developer that would even consider building a hotel. I mean, there is a big discussion that needs to occur when we're talking about hotels specifically. And then even is a hotel, that key link to trying to make the arena a viable downtown attraction. So a lot of questions attached to that as well.
Well, folks may be familiar somewhat with the Decatur Civic Center. Is that what it's still called?
Yeah.
How did that place operate? What was sort of the oversight model there as it related to the city of Decatur?
Actually, City Hall is in the Civic Center. And the arrangement, it's a 99-year lease. It began in 1980. That the city of Decatur subsidizes any losses, if you will, to the Civic Center. So the staff there, they do their best. But I think we're at a current subsidy of about $450,000, and it's held that for the last handful of years. But it's tough trying to attract bigger name acts, the venue is pretty full down there, but it's just not your larger acts.
Let's talk infrastructure next, specifically roads. In Decatur, during your tenure, City Council approved a new local motor fuel tax to pay for road work. In Bloomington, there's been a reluctance, at least with this council, to raise taxes in certain cases, although there has been some exceptions, fees, garbage collection fees, sewer fees most recently. Can you talk about how you and the Decatur Council reached that agreement on a local motor fuel tax and what your overall philosophy is on when it is time to go back to taxpayers on something like that?
I think with the Decatur-specific discussion, that would have been in April of 2016, that this was implemented. I knew that there had been that discussion in the past, and I resurrected it with the council members, and they eventually approved it. But we had none, no motor fuel tax. But what we did, and we've done this with other taxes, where it was pledged specifically with a sunset provision at 10 years on the local motor fuel tax. And it was a local roads worst first type of approach. Unless there was an economic development opportunity, we would use the funds for that. And we're generating about $1.9 million a year, nickel on the unleaded and a penny on diesel. So the approach was, being very public in communicating and actually putting it in the ordinance. This is for residential roads, and did not want the community to think that this was going to get lost in the general fund. So we took that approach, and it's actually been very successful.
And you haven't been a city hall guy your whole career. You worked for a Pekin Police Department from 1989 to 2010, retiring as a lieutenant. My understanding is you're going to continue to teach criminal justice courses at the University of Illinois at Springfield, even as you take this job in Bloomington. So why is that so important to you? What do you enjoy about doing that?
Well, I actually started that when I was still a police officer in 2008. And I just enjoy the interaction with the students. Majority of the students are younger, your traditional age group. And the two classes that I teach, I created a class, Community Policing, and that's one that I teach on campus, and then the other one is Criminal Investigation. And the university has approached me and asked if I'd be willing to change over to management or public administration. And I am interested in that, but have filled an area that would be a void if I wasn't continuing to teach a criminal justice stuff for UIS.
So how do you think your experience as a former police officer informs your approach to supervising a police chief, overseeing their budgets, contract negotiations with their unions, those types of issues?
I think I'm going to answer this more generically and say that anybody that comes up through the ranks of public safety, I think it's a perfect transition into city management. And you continue to deal with problems. You continue to have to take in and digest multiple sides to any given topic. And sometimes you have to be prepared to make a quick decision, and sometimes you're able to take your time and make the decision a little bit down the road. So through ICMA, which is the International City and County Management Association, very much I'm an advocate that police officers, fire officers, at least consider the city management as a possibility in their career.
But I also want to ask, I mean, do you find yourself either in Washington or in Decatur, or do you find yourself paying a special amount of attention to a police department just because you have that background? Or do you kind of go the other direction with it and you say, well, you know, I feel like I have a handle on that, so maybe I'm focusing my learning energy elsewhere?
No, I think it's an assessment of my department directors. And you give more attention where you feel attention is deserved. You've got Clay Wheeler, that's a new police chief, but this guy sounds solid. And the meetings that I've had with him, I'm very impressed. He is a 27, 28-year veteran of the police department, came up through the ranks. I think it's a great pick. Brian Moore on the fire side. Somebody that actually a lot of fire chiefs and connections that I have around the state, this guy is thought very highly of. So on the public safety side and other areas, but we're talking about public safety, I think the city is in very good hands.
Well, while in Decatur, you were part of a well-documented run-in with the former police chief there, Brad Sweeney. He was fired, and after a kind of a legal fight, he ended up retiring instead, paying some money to the city in legal fees. How do you think people here in Bloomington should view that incident and how it reflects on your leadership style and how you may handle executive members of your team?
I think that they should feel confident that department directors are going to be held accountable. Also, before that, they're equipped with the proper tools and training to be able to successfully complete the job. I mean, without going into details, that totally was not the case in that dismissal at all. It was a three-week period that's well documented. In that case, I mean, we ended up arguing repeatedly, one at the circuit level, twice at the appellate level. We're arguing the legality of the whistleblower claim by the former police chief, and we never got to the truth of the matter, where I was able to call in witnesses to the conduct. So we really tried to package, at the end of all of it, a settlement statement that really said it all, if people care to take the time to read it. I think it sums up everything.
Well, Bloomington has a one-year-old public safety and community relations board. It was sought in the wake of violence and unrest between communities and police departments across the country. The board chair of the Bloomington PSCRB, as it's called, says he hopes it'll inoculate us against similar unrest. What do you think of that board and what you've heard about it so far, given your background in community policing, and how hopeful are you that something like it can keep Bloomington from a worse situation?
I think it sounds as if it's very similar to a group that I was part of the creation of, and the acronym was ALERTS, the minority community being engaged in day-to-day issues and challenges and problems. And, you know, the day that something, God forbid, happens where, you know, you've got a minority-involved victim, let's say a white male police officer, you get them, you activate them. And we've done that twice in Decatur since the creation of that. And what's interesting is if members of the community remember the officer-involved shooting in Minneapolis where the girlfriend videotaped her boyfriend, you know, dying in the front seat of the car. And then you had the first of, I think, two Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And then not even a full week later, we had an officer-involved shooting. National media shows up. And credit to, obviously, the police department in Decatur, but the alerts team standing up and saying, we trust our police department. We trust that this is going to be given a fair look in the investigation and really turn things around. It didn't make the national media like it could have, because it definitely was a very volatile time. And to your question specifically about the program in Bloomington, it sounds very similar. So I'm anxious to learn more.
That's new Bloomington City Manager Tim Gleason speaking with GLT's Ryan Denham. Gleason is 1 week into the new job.